Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Despite what Van Jones says in the CNN clip that I'm about to play for you, Kamala Harris, the Democrat Party, didn't just go through a period of crazy. Okay, this is who the Democrat Party is. Democrat Party today is the same as it was 4 years ago. Van Jones, who's a commie and was with Barack Obama and part of the commies of Barack Obama, he knows better. But they're all trying to pretend like in 2020, 2019, the Democrat Party had a period of temporary insanity. Wasn't real. And they got over that, and now they're just back to being normal. Don't fall for this. Don't believe this. They weren't on a pogo stick of crazy. They are a pogo stick of crazy. That's the difference. That's the distinction. Listen to this.
Tell you, it's not just Kamala Harris that's moved. Our whole party was on some weird pogo stick in 2020. We had all kind of ideas that turned out to be bad ideas.
It's called Black Lives Matter.
And she's yet to be able to explain why she shifted.
That was the poker stick. It was equity.
Sorry,
we had a technical difficulty. That was there. It. They were just on. It was stuff till we worked it out, but we, I think, figured it out now. So, that was the strangest thing ever, Matt DeSantis. I don't know what's happening. It's the witching hour on the fourth and final hour. I guess it happens sometimes, but we're better now. Hang on. Grab my headphones. We're back. All right, so we started to play a repeat. That happens, but at least it was better than playing something that wasn't good. Think about it that way, from that perspective, because that would be a whole lot worse. So, all right, I wanted to mention, too, as we're continuing along the show here, and we got a lot to get to. First of all, the big story of the hour brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, V-A-N-A-R-I-A. VanariaDental.com, with two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. He's the man. And I'm telling you, you're going to love the smile that you will get from Dr. Mike. And he is an absolute great, great dentist. I'm going to get to a couple of the different things this hour, including the censorship of Governor Josh Shapiro. I don't know if you know this or not, but he is censoring Pennsylvania workers off the clock and on the clock. The guy is a dictator, a totalitarian. Like so many of these people, they're totalitarian dictators. And Shapiro is no different from that. So I'm going to talk to one of our friends over at FIRE, the Foundation for Individual Rights in an Expression. FIRE, the fire.org. They're outstanding. They do great work. But I'd be remiss if I did not mention the latest stunt that liberals, leftists are trying to do in New Jersey. So I saw this today from the shorenewsnetwork.com. New Jersey is seeking climate reparations from the fossil fuel industry. A newly proposed bill titled the Climate Superfund Act has been introduced to the New Jersey legislature, aiming to hold fossil fuel companies accountable for damages resulting from climate change. The bill seeks to establish liability for certain companies based on their contribution to greenhouse gas emissions. So it wasn't enough to try to get reparations for slavery. Now the left wants climate reparations. Climate reparations. Under the act, fossil fuel companies deemed responsible for emitting more than 1 billion metric tons of greenhouse gases between January 1st, 1995 and the bill's enactment date would be considered reasonable parties. And the New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection, led by His Royal Ruggedness King Philip the Unaccountable, would oversee the identification of these companies and the calculation of their proportional responsibility for damages caused to the state and its residents. So here's what they want to do on a Tuesday night. By the way, just a programming note, tomorrow night, the final hour, Michael Pelka is going to be in. I am, along with Dom Giordano, going to the ZOA dinner honoring Judith Krupnik tomorrow night. They're giving Dom and I an award as well tomorrow night, so I'm excited for that, but I have to get up to Lower Merion, City Avenue by 6:30 or so. So, you know, with traffic and everything, I got to do that. Anyway, back to this. So the bill mandates that the state treasurer, within 2 years of the bill's passage, prepare an assessment quantifying the damages New Jersey has suffered due to greenhouse gas emissions since 1995. Then each identified company would be required to make payments equal to its share of the damages. Funds collected through the program will be deposited into the, ready, Climate Superfund Cost Recovery Program Fund. Got it? These funds will be distributed as grants for climate change adaptation and resilience projects, which aim to mitigate the ongoing effects of climate change. The DEP would also be authorized to use some of the funds for administering the program. The bill includes provisions for joint and several liability for companies within the same corporate structure. Now, who do you think is going to pay for all that? Who do you think is going to be the one that pays for all that? Me? You? The ratepayers, of course. The left also wants to silence the free speech of all these various companies as well, because they don't like the idea that these companies aren't able to push their climate change propaganda, meaning that they would suggest that perhaps they're not the problem. I'm telling you, man, these totalitarians cracking down wherever they possibly can when it comes to freedom of speech. These people never stop. There's a little montage going around, too, of Tim Walz saying, you know, you don't have an absolute right to say whatever you want. Kamala Harris talking about locking people up for misinformation. This is what these people do. I mean, this is what totalitarians do. And they've had a target going after the fossil fuel industry for years under the guise of misinformation and disinformation. And this is really about bullying them into silence and intimidation. That's what it is. Bullying them into silence and intimidation so that they go along with what the state of New Jersey wants. And then also finding another money source for their crazy projects to fund things like wind turbines and windmills, which we know will kill the whales and dolphins and destroying the coast as we know it. But they don't care. You see, this is the thing about these people. They don't care. They want to just find more ways to push their green agenda. And the green agenda is devastating. It really is. It's devastating. The green agenda is the ultimate inflation expansion project. That's what it is. That's what it is. And everything that these people are trying to do is about getting more money out of you and me and these companies. So instead of investing in companies like natural gas industries, for example, they want to shut them down or make them pay, kind of like what they did to Big Tobacco, you know, arguing that Big Fuel is responsible for the deaths of millions of kids. You know, in California, they're slapping warning labels on gas stoves now. Oh, yeah. They're slapping warning labels on gas stoves. You try to buy a gas stove, which makes sense because I'm telling you, as a guy who likes to cook, I love to cook, you need a gas stove to cook properly, in my opinion. In my opinion, you need a gas stove to cook properly. And if you don't, then you're going to have a problem because it's just not the same. That's why every chef loves doing that. Every chef loves to cook on a gas stove. But the left will now ban those too if they possibly can. Remember the time they said it was a conspiracy theory? A conspiracy theory that we wanted to ban gas stoves, or that they wanted to ban gas stoves? They said it was not possible. It couldn't happen. Would never happen. Nobody believed that. They said they were never going to do it. It was never going to happen. And sure enough, we caught that little troll, Richard Trumka Jr., trying to ban them. Well, now they're slapping warning labels on them. Again, the goal is to intimidate people, not want to buy them, and intimidate people into not making them and selling them anymore. It's the same thing they're doing with cars. You put these erroneous, draconian fuel standards on cars that they can't meet. So they turn around and they go, well, we got to sell EVs now. We can't make cars anymore. And instead of harnessing our ability in this country to have energy, like this gigantic, beautiful Marcellus shale that we're all standing on top of in Pennsylvania, and putting liquid natural gas export facilities all around us, what do? They go after them and put a ban on liquid natural gas exports. Who does that help? Putin. They want to vilify energy companies, vilify them, and sue them ultimately out of existence. This is the insanity of the left. They don't understand. I mean, they do. They know that these companies are necessary for the world to work. They know the world needs energy. That's why we get it from Venezuela. We get it from China. We get it from Iran. We embolden all the whack job countries around the world. It's so stupid. And then we're going to make energy companies in New Jersey pay reparations. And we're going to try to shut down the fossil fuel industry in Pennsylvania. These people are so dumb. By the way, we're going to be back at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey for our next live show on October 11th. Okay. Mark your calendar now. We're going to have a lot of fun, and we'll continue to hammer away at these people in New Jersey who want to do the windmill project, which is just going to be devastating to the Jersey Shore. So Friday, October 11th, our next live show. I want to see you there at my happy place, the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. You better be there. It's going to be a lot of fun. Maybe I'll give you a metal detector. You can go and try to find some good stuff on the beach. You never know what you're going to find. You just never know. All right, we got a lot more to come. It's our fourth and final hour here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHG. Don't go away.
Thanks for listening to the Scioli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and the Odyssey app.
All right, joining me now on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD, Aaron Turr is the director of public advocacy at thefire.org, right here in our backyard in Philadelphia. They fight for freedom of speech, the foundation for individual rights and expression. Aaron, thanks for making time for me today. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Rich.
So there's a big story, and it's a local story, but it has some serious implications here for the First Amendment. And it has to do with Governor Josh Shapiro and an executive order barring state employees from saying anything deemed scandalous or disgraceful. Was that? I don't even know what that means, Aaron.
Yeah, that's the problem, is what does that mean? Those are really subjective and broad terms that can easily reach a huge amount of constitutionally protected speech. The policy itself doesn't define the terms, and there's no further guidance on what speech would violate this policy. And that's a problem, because opinions
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Dramatically about what speech is scandalous or disgraceful, or the third part of it, which is a speech that may bring the service of the Commonwealth into disrepute. So really, it's just leaving employees at the mercy of state officials with nearly unchecked discretion, really, to decide what speech crosses the line.
And so what happens if you, say, put out a political opinion that is contrary to the governor's? I mean, he's got all kinds of opinions. Obviously, he's a very outspoken guy. Could they deem that to be harmful to the Commonwealth since you're disagreeing with the governor on something?
You can easily imagine that happening, right? I mean, that's the problem, is that whoever's in power is probably going to be more likely to view things as scandalous, disgraceful, or bringing disrepute to the Commonwealth if it's a type of speech that is critical of them or of a policy that they've enacted, right? So you can think of a lot of different examples. What if an employee speaks publicly about corruption charges against a state official? What if they speak to the media about dysfunction within a state agency? Would that be scandalous? Would that bring the could that bring the Commonwealth into disrepute? And then, you know, what if someone attends a protest related to a divisive political issue like the Israel-Hamas conflict or abortion, or even something as simple as an employee doing stand-up at an open mic in their free time and they make some joke that someone finds offensive? Or could that be considered disgraceful? And under the vague terms of this order, the state has that sort of discretion to make these judgment calls, and employees are just kind of left in the dark about what they can and cannot say.
And are there any limits to this? I mean, is it, are there any exemptions? Does it involve, so like anything, social media, like to your point, stand-up comedy, a protest, are there any exemptions to this?
There's no exemptions. It's just employees may not engage in any conduct that would be considered scandalous, disgraceful, or bring the Commonwealth into disrepute. And it's clear from the introductory language to the order that conduct includes expression and speech. And that's also made clear from an email sent out by an administration official announcing the executive order that talked about a rise in hate speech and said that there's a greater need for moral clarity. And it specifically called out or said that could apply to social media posts and boycotts. So it's fairly clear from the order and from the context around it that the administration is targeting potentially political speech and speech on public issues that the public has a significant interest in discussing.
Aaron Turr is with me. He's the director of public advocacy for thefire.org. It's Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression. This is a big story. Pennsylvania executive order by Governor Josh Shapiro gags public workers' speech on and off the clock. What about like a state trooper? I mean, if they do like a Blue Lives Matter rally or something like that, and Governor Josh Shapiro doesn't like it, and would this apply to them too?
It could potentially apply to them. Absolutely. Again, it's just the contours of the order are just so broad and so vague that it's very easy to imagine applying to a scenario like that. And it applies to any employee in the executive branch. So yeah, state trooper could be one of them. It presumably would cover any employee who works for any Commonwealth agency, department, or commission, basically anyone who's not in the judicial or legislative branches. So that could be, yeah, a police officer could be.
You point out a toll booth operator. Yeah.
Toll booth operator, a SEPTA bus driver, a public librarian, all these people now have to worry about what they say off the clock. And that's a blatant infringement on their constitutional rights.
Like, I don't understand. I mean, the off the clock thing is what's absurd about this. I mean, on the clock, I get it. Right? You're at work. I mean, that's fine. But off the clock, you're now subject to King Shapiro's careful watch on what you say or what you tweet or where you go. Or what about your freedom of association? I mean, that's another point too. You have a constitutionally protected right of freedom of association. What if you belong to an organization that the governor just doesn't like? Maybe it's because it's an organization designed to oust Josh Shapiro. Like, I mean, can you not be part of that organization anymore? Could you then theoretically not be part of the Republican Party, say, because it's not his party?
Yeah, again, it's just going to depend, right, on what state officials subjectively and potentially arbitrarily decide is scandalous or disgraceful. And you're right. Americans, they have a right to a life outside of work where they can speak their minds and participate in our democracy and associate with groups that they want to associate with, just like other citizens have that right. Americans don't lose their constitutional rights just because they take a job with the government. But with this broad and vague policy, the Shapiro administration is hanging the threat of punishment over their heads, essentially for saying anything on or off the clock that state officials might disapprove of.
That's just insane. Have you heard of this happening in any other place outside of Pennsylvania?
I have. I haven't seen a policy like this enacted at the state level and affecting, you know, a huge number of thousands of public employees. It's, I can't, to me, or at least in my experience, this is fairly unprecedented, the scope of this order and the number of people within the state that it's affecting.
What I love, too, is when you read the executive order, it's like there's a gigantic but. I mean, because it says this administration supports free speech and consistent with the First Amendment, such speech may never incite violence, encourage people to violate the law or harass others. But, you know, it's like and no employee, right, appointee or official of the executive branch of the government should engage in conduct that could cause interference with or the disruption of the functioning of an agency, board, commission or council of the government. I mean, you could make that argument that if there's a hearing on raising tolls on the Pennsylvania State Turnpike and you go to the hearing and speak out and you happen to be a member of the executive branch, even just a low level one, that you could theoretically be interfering with the functioning of an agency. I mean, this is insane.
Right, exactly. And if they had just written a policy in a way that only prohibited actual incitement to violence using the Supreme Court standard for that exception to the First Amendment, only prohibiting, you know, threats of violence and or only applying to things that employees say when they're on the clock and performing their job duties, that would have all been fine. But of course, this order is much more expansive than that. And actually, to go back to your question about whether I've seen anything like this before, not in other states at the level of the state government, but there was another Pennsylvania state agency that had enforced a ban on employees wearing political masks. And the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Third Circuit, which has jurisdiction over Pennsylvania, actually blocked the agency's enforcement of that policy and said that, look, just because some masks might be have a message that is controversial, it's the state, you know, the agency is just speculating that that's going to cause disruption to their operations. And you need to actually come forward with evidence that the speech is disruptive. It can't just be that an employee is speaking on some contentious social or political topic or saying something that some people might find offensive or disagreeable. You actually have to show that this really is disrupting the functioning of the agency if you're going to take some kind of disciplinary action.
And don't you love, too, Aaron, this whole idea that speech may incite violence, therefore, you know, we're going to keep you from saying something or expressing something. I mean, look, I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a First Amendment expert. I did watch The Big Lebowski, and I know that the Supreme Court has widely rejected prior restraint. So I don't know how they're getting away with this.
Right. So Walter Sobchak was absolutely dead on correct in that movie. But when it comes to incitement, so that is an exception to the First Amendment, but it's a very narrow and clearly defined exception where the speech is intended to and likely to produce imminent lawless violence. So it would be something like if you're standing with a violent mob outside of somebody's house and calling on them to set it on fire. Yeah, right. Like that would be unlawful. That would probably constitute incitement. But what we see is often that term is used in a more loose way to simply refer to speech that some people think might somehow, you know, somewhere in some way down the road lead to violence. And if you loosen the standard that much, then you start capturing all sorts of speech on divisive political issues, right? And you're really going to effectively shut down public debate on those issues.
I'm going to get a bumper sticker that says, "Everything I know about constitutional law, I learned from The Big Lebowski." I think that could catch on. I really do. Aaron, thanks for keeping up the fight on this, man. I think it's really important. And, Shapiro's got this reputation as being such a moderate kind of a guy, which, I mean, this is probably one of the most extreme policies I've ever heard when it relates to cracking down on freedom of speech and freedom of expression. So I'm glad we're getting this out there. And I would say to Pennsylvania employees who are listening and want to do something about it, I would say speak up, but you may lose your job. So I don't know what they should do. Maybe anonymously reach out to thefire.org if they need some help.
Yes, absolutely. We're looking for people right now that are affected by this policy who feel like they might face punishment for something that they might say off the clock. If you work for the Pennsylvania government and you're interested in challenging this policy because how it might affect your rights to free speech, please do contact fire at thefire.org, and we can review your case privately, speak with you and decide, you know, whether we might have a case. Because we've given Governor Shapiro an opportunity to voluntarily amend or rescind this order to remove its constitutional flaws. We've sent two letters now to the governor, but haven't heard back. So Now we're looking to challenge it in court so that we can secure the First Amendment rights of all Pennsylvanians.
Yeah, and I do want to mention real quick that the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette has denounced this unconstitutional executive order. So that's good. That's excellent. I hope the governor's office gets back to you, Aaron. Follow Aaron on social media at AaronTurr1 and at TheFire.org. Appreciate it, my friend. Keep up the good fight.
Thanks so much, Rich.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
A lot goes into taking care of your property. You need equipment with more reliability, durability, and versatility built in. Like number one selling Kubota BX and L-Series compact tractors, Z-Series mowers that deliver a quality cut, and Sidekick utility vehicles where durability meets speed. Visit your local Kubota dealer for a demo today.
CEC Turf and Tractor. On the web at cecturfandtractor.com.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.